Today's daf is daf Samach Tet, and we're holding at the last word on the second line. Boy, Rami Barchon. V'shtei alechem, atza, sharia, o chanata. So the coming to define what is the actual produce. But the shtei alechem will be matir for the Beit HaMikdash for chodesh. When we talk about chanatza v'chanata, what we usually refer to is, of course, fruit. We don't talk about tvua as anything to do with chanata or chanata. So that basically the nait, which is the small, tiny flower that comes out first, before the pre is actually visible, and then the later stage of chanata, those would be issues that would have to do with the nesachim, like the wine, which we said before, that we don't bring new wine before the akravah shtei halechem. And so, we may actually be referring to over here the question of whether shtei halechem is matir that wine. But this is the way many of the Rishonim learn it. The Rambam understands that the question over here is basically about tfua, and these are terms that are being borrowed for use on tfua as well. Yes, the Gemara, when you talk about hanatza, and you talk about chanata, what exactly are you referring to? My hanatza, my chanata. Ilema, hanatza, the pira, the chanata, the pira, we're talking about the actual fruit. I mean, I thought that we discussed yesterday that even the hashrasha, that is to say, taking root before it is that there's any type of hanatza, chanata, is already anything that took root before the shtei alechem is already mutter by the shtei alechem. So why are we asking all of a sudden about hanatza v'chanata? Boy, this is a question. Ela, what we must be talking about is the hanatza of the Allah and the chanata of the Allah. We're asking whether the flowering of a leaf, there's the budding of a leaf and the breaking out of a leaf, is that considered to be the equivalent of taking root? Miyavi ki hashrasha or lo? And that's the issue, not the fruit itself, which certainly would be long after taking root. Another question that the Gemara entertains here is, Boy Rava Bar Chanan, if you took wheat and you planted them in the ground, chitim shezar an bekarka, and they're still sitting there in the ground, is the omer matir that new wheat or not? O eno omer matir. Yes, well, wait a minute. What are we talking about? If the wheat is taking root, ida ashrush, then Tanina, it's a Beferish Mishnah that we're going to see later. And if the low Ashrish, if they haven't taken root and it's just loose wheat seeds, it's also Beferish later. Also Tanina. What am I referring to when I say Tanina? Ditanan. In the next Mishnah it says, Im Hishrishu Kodem La Omer, Omer Matiran, Vim La Vasurin, Achiavi, Omer Haba. So if what it is that you want to eat now had taken root before the Hakravata Omer, so then the Omer is matir that grain. But if it hadn't taken root, and it only takes root afterwards, then you're going to have to wait until the next Hakravata Omer. Says the Gemara, you're missing the point here. What we're talking about over here is the Chatzinu v'Zarinu Kodem LaOmer, Va'at Omer v'Cholif Alayu. It's talking about over here that the man harvested these grains of wheat and planted them back into the ground before the Omer was brought. Now they brought the Omer while these grains were in the ground. And the question is, are you allowed to take them out of the ground to eat it? That's the question. Can I eat them having removed them from the ground? Do I say that since they were in the ground before they had a chance to take root again, so now it's command the shadya bekadadam. It basically, it's like sitting in a container. It happens to be that container is the dirt of the earth, but it's certainly not growing there. I already harvested it. So therefore, it should be the equivalent of my having harvested something and put it in a container. And now we brought the omer. And of course, that's exactly the sharin omer. That's exactly what the omer does, is it's matter such things. Or dilma, or do we say that the moment that you plant chitim, they are no longer identifiable as chitim. And now batel to the karka and batel to the gabi ara, it's as if they're part of the ground, the omer is no longer matir them as separate grains. Another question that is nogea the same situation would be, are they considered to be ground in terms of the din of ona'a? And remember that there's a halacha that defines how much above value you could charge for something, how much when you do charge would need to be returned, and how much when you do charge it is considered to completely cancel the sale. All of those are dinim of ona'a. But we have a rule that ona'a doesn't apply to real estate. Now, are these chidim considered to be real estate, or are they considered to be mitaltalim? So, hey chidami, when you're asking, when do you refer to when you're asking if they have ona'a? Ilay medi amale shedai ba shita. Vatus adiv amale lo shadaba alachamisha. We're talking about a guy who sold a piece of property, and he said that, look, I want you to know that in this property I have planted, let's say, six bushels of wheat. And witnesses come along and say, actually, he only planted 5 bushels of wheat, which is 1/6, and that is actually the shiur of ona'a. Says the Gemara, that can't be the case, because Amar Rava Kol Davar Shebimidav Shebimishkav Shebiminyan, Afilu Pachot Michdei Ona'a Chuzer. Anything that has a specific measurement, whether it's in terms of how much it weighs, how large it is, or number, that is anything that is wrong is certainly refunded. Because that has nothing to do with pricing. That is simply misrepresentation and fraud. Now over here, if you're giving 5 instead of 6, it's a davar shebiminyan. So that can't be the case. El, it's got to be talking about the armale shedai bucket abayla. I planted already in advance of your purchase whatever was appropriate for a piece of land this size. And then come along Edim, the Atu Sahadi, and they say, Lo Shadabaka de Boila, we're farmers, and I'm telling you, this guy did not plant as much as was necessary for the land. So over there, it's clearly not a specific minyan or mishkal that we're talking about. It's a broad sense of approximately so much and so much. I never promised a particular amount. So here's the question. Do we say that they're considered to be metatlin? And yesh lehem ona'a, because there is, if they're sitting in a container, k'mandashanya bekata damya, or do we say, and therefore yesh lehem ona'a, or do we say batur l'gavi ara, same question that we had before, are these considered to be just part of the ground, and on issues like this, that are not b'midah b'mishkan b'minyan, there is no ona when it comes to karka'on. Another question about the same case would be, would you take an oath in court or not? Nishbayin alayim or ein nishbayin alayim. So do we say, the halacha is that you're not able to take a shvua on transactions that have to do with karka. So whatever the case would be, cases of made of a mikzas, or cases where we have an eid echad, which normally, if we're talking about metatlin, are machayev a shvua, and when it comes to karka, not machayev a shvua. There too, the question is, how do we look at this? Do we look at this as karka, or do we look at it as metatu? Do we say kiddushadya bekadadab, it's as if they're held in a container, and therefore they're nothing but metatulim, in which case in Ishba'in alayhem, or do we say batiluhu agam ara, they're considered to be simply an extension of the earth, uchimikarkoidomu, the inishba'in alayhem, because there's no shvua on karkaot. In all of the above cases, the only thing we have to say is let the question stand, take it. By Rami Bar Choma, chitin shebegalalei bakar usaorin shebegalalei behema mal. What would be the din about seeds of grain that are whole and that are found in animal dung that have eaten them? Says where in terms of what lamai? Are you asking in terms of its being considered to be a foodstuff to be mekabel tuma? Ilema litzmuye tumat ochlin, and that's your question. No, it's beferish what the din is. Tanina, chitin shebirei ebe bakar, usaorin shebegalalei behima, shishava liyem la'achila, e metamei tumat ochlin. But if liktan la'achila metamei tumat ochlin, so a machshava is not sufficient to turn these things into food, but an act that shows your interest in taking it for food is considered to be an act, and therefore it would be metame tumatochlin. So we know the solution to that. That can't be your question. Ela, the question is, are such foodstuffs kosher to bring a mincha from? Pshita delo. What kind of question is that? Obviously you can't. I mean, that's the pasuk. Akriveyo na lepechatecha. Go try to bring such a piece of garbage to your governor. Ayir tzachala, yisapanecha. You think that's going to get into his good graces? You're going to bring this to Melech Lachem Lachim? Well, I guess they hadn't heard of Colombian coffee at Starbucks or in those days, some of the monkey dung stuff. Anyway, Lo Tzricha, starting about over here, the Naktinu Vezarinu, you took them out of the dung, you planted them in the ground, new seeds have grown, and now you process them as normal, and you've ground them and made flour of them, and Kabbalah Tu Yimenachot Minayu. you now want to use this produce for bringing a mincha. The question is, my, do we say that although we said before that it's possible, the only reason it was possible is because it's disgusting. It's mishum de miyisutahu. Now, I mean, once you planted it, obviously it's nothing but a molecule that's now formed with its DNA, other things. There's nothing disgusting anymore. Obviously, it's no longer disgusting after you were zorea, it had disappeared, and now the information is in a new fruit. Or Dilma, or perhaps that's not the point. The point is that the reason we said you can't bring it to your governor is because having gone through the digestive tract, the chita is no longer as rich and as full of nutrients. It's because it's already been partially digested, which will affect also, obviously, what grows from it, because the endosperm is not going to be sufficient for it, and therefore hashtanami kechusha. So whatever grows from it is considered to also be kechusha. Take, that is a problem. That too stands. A further question that Rami Bar Choma asks, that relates in a way to the question that we had before about digestion, is how about if an elephant swallows a kefifa mitzrit, which is a type of basket that's made out of reeds, and then it excretes it, v'kia derech beter I mahu. Now, it excreted it whole, which you can do if you're an elephant. And the question of the Gemara is, what is the issue that you're raising in the mind? Are we concerned about if the kefifa mitzrit was tameh before it was eaten by the elephant? And you want to know whether the tumah now has disappeared because of its passage through the elephant's digestive system. There's no question about that. It's a beferish mishnah. Kol hakilim yordim lidei tumatan b'makshava. At the point that you consider the kli to have been finished, and then that's called gemar malacha, and at that point it's mekabel tumah. So this was a kvifa mitzvah that had already been mekabel tumah, and in olin mitumatan. Once they became tameh, you cannot have them lose that tumah unless something is done to actually change the physical structure or something that you do to the kli. Ela bishinui ma'aseh. Now, since this basket has come out of the elephant the way it went into the elephant, there's no change in it, and obviously the machshava of the elephant about eating it is not going to change anything. And therefore, what's your question? Of course it is still tameh. Says the Gemara, no, the question was actually otherwise. The question was, Latzricha de bala hutzi. What the elephant had swallowed was not the entire already fashioned basket. It swallowed the hutzin, which are the actual the pieces that you pull off, like the leaves of the palm, of the lulav, which you make those little basket-like leaves out of. And then, after swallowing them and excreting them, avdinu kefifa mitzrit, they then made it into a kefifa mitzrit. And the suffix is, mihavi, do we say that when he swallowed these pieces of leaves, it's considered to be equal. It's considered already to have been digested. And if it's digested, then havilei, the basket that you make out of these pre-digested materials, have a din of klei gilalim. They have a din of dung baskets. Or klei adama, the im mekablim tumah. Halacha is that such things are not mekabel tumah. Any containers that are made out of stone, or that are made out of dried dung, or that are made out of just clay, raw, ain mekablim tumah lo midivrei Torah lo midivrei sofrim. There's no tumah at all on them, and therefore the question is, if I could view them as digested, then they wouldn't be mekabel tumah, despite the fact that I made a basket out of them. They're like any other dung thing. Oh, Dilma, or do we say that since they come out apparently unchanged, you can't call them digested, like dung, and therefore lo havi ikul, in which case it's considered to be a normal kli that's made out of reeds, and it will be mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, well, can't we figure out the answer from the case, tifshatli, mehadi omar ula mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Tzadok. There was a case that Rabbi Shimon bar Yehud Tzadok was quoted by Ula's reporting, where ma'aseh there was once a story of Little Red Riding Hood where the wolves swallowed up two children whole, and then they excreted them. In that case, the story there is Otsiam, they actually excreted them whole. Ubama aserefei chachamim. The chachamim said that the bodies are tiaru et habasar. The flesh on the body is considered to be digested, and therefore it's not considered to be a basar of a mate, and it's not going to be metami. So why isn't this the same? What do you mean, it says, why would it be the same? We're talking about something having the same shape. It's not the same thing as it's having been unaffected by the digestion. I mean, flesh, human flesh, is soft. It's certainly going to be affected by digestive juices, and therefore it loses the shame basar mate. Masha'inke, no impact at all might be had on the nitzarim that we're taking from a palm. So that doesn't prove anything. As the more of a leaf shot misefa. Can't we continue reading? And even though they said the flesh was not metame, but they were metame, the skeletal remains. So you see that something that is hard, even though it's gone through the digestive system of these wolves, is still considered to be human bones, and it is metame. So that certainly should be the same as the nitzarim. Says they were not necessarily, because there may be a harder level than nitzarim. In other words, I understand that bones and essentially calcium, as opposed to the cellulose of the nitzarim of the palm, they may be completely unaffected by digestion, perhaps. Masha'inkein, the nitzarim may be affected partially by digestion, maybe would have a dint of dung. So we can't bring a raya from there. Another question by Rabbi Zera. Chitim sheyardu be'avim. If it rained wheat, and so basically there had been a storm, maybe with a tornado, that had picked up a whole boatload of wheat, and then they came down and they were deposited 100 miles away on the ground with the rain. So what's the din? Ma, what do you mean, what's the din? Lamai, in terms of what? I mean, you're asking whether the wheat is kosher to bring menachot from? I mean, ilim menachot? Why wouldn't it be kosher? Milo, I understand. Who cares if it was in a tornado? It's irrelevant. The question, says the Gemara, is not from an achot. The question is the Gabishtei Alechem. My, and here's our question. Mi moshvotechem, omrachmana. Since the Torah says that the Shtei Alechem is brought on that which comes from moshavot, and that tells me that you cannot bring things that come from chutzlaretz. But it may well be that when it rains wheat, it's not considered to be coming from chutzlaretz. It's coming from the sky. In other words, its point of origin is unimportant to us as far as our knowledge is concerned, our vision is concerned. These things are coming from the sky, and that's where we got them from. And maybe that's not called chutzlaretz, as anybody who's taken a flight can tell the difference between being in the air and being in chutzlaretz. So over there, it's not called chutzlaretz, and that would be considered to be sufficient. Or is mimoshvotechem not just not chutzlaretz? Moshvotechem is from Eretz Yisrael, Dafka. In which case, no matter where, even if it came from Eretz Yisrael, if it comes from the sky, is that considered to be chitim from Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, is there really such a thing as raining chitim? Mi'ika ki hai gavna? Says the Gemara, there certainly is. Kide Adi Taya, there was this whole mice of the famous Adi, one of the big Arab salesmen, where nechita leirum kizba chiti betlata parsim. Man, that guy had all the luck in the world. He had a whole foot of over 3 parsaot, which is 12 kilometers, basically. It rained chitim over his farm. This guy was just really in the gold, let me tell you. By Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, shibolet she'evia shlish, konam la'omer. How about if you have a stalk of grain that was 1/3 grown before the omer, and he picked it, Viakara, he picked it before the Akravata Omer, and he then replanted it to continue to grow, Shitala La'achara Omer, and after he planted it, it continued to grow, Vosifa. Now, there's a new chita, a larger and more chitim that are growing. Ma, do we look at its basic stock, in Batar Ikar Aslina, and we say the Omer was already matter this? Odima Batar Tosefet Aslina, do we look at the amounts that were added after the Omer, and therefore you have to wait until next year's Omer to be able to eat it. Ma'achiyavo Omer Abba, the Tosser. This is the Gemara. Tisha lemi ha'di Omer Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, yalda shesipcha v'zikena. We have very much the same situation. You've got a young sapling, which is Orla, and you went ahead and you planted it by grafting it onto an old stump of a tree, which is maybe 50 years old, certainly not Orla. And in the new growth, we have perot. And those perot continue to grow after the graft. Afilo osif b'matayim. The din is normally that Orla is about to 1 in 200 times as much of heter. In this case, the original Orla, even though now everything has grown and there's 200 times more than was there originally, remains us, clearly, because we follow the source where it started growing from and not its new situation. So over here, too, we should go according to the original source of the growth. Furthermore, the Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yonatan, in an equivalent case of an onion, that you took this onion and you planted it in a vineyard. So you now have Kalei HaKerem, which are Aser Bahana'a, and then Nekar HaKerem, and then they tore out the vineyard, leaving the onions behind. Even if the onion continues to grow, and it's now 200 times larger than what was there initially, Afilu Asif B'Matayim, the whole thing is also because of Kalei HaKerem, again, because apparently you look at the original growth, and it's all seem to be extension of that original growth. We can't consider it to be a separate growth, which will be mevatalit. Here, too, therefore, we should say the same thing. Not that we knew this, but this is what we were asking. Is it that for sure it's mifshap shitele rabbanan that we go according to the ikar, and therefore, even though the cases you brought me, which are cases where we're going bust of the ikar l'chumra, we would have gone l'kula also, such as the case that I'm asking. It would be l'oshan l'kula v'loshan l'chumra. Or maybe the basis of that psak itself, of the kalei hakerem, maybe that is only because they were misupak. Whether we should rely on the new growth or whether we should look at the ikar, and therefore they went only l'chumra. So s'fukim misafkel v'l'chumra aminat, but we certainly wouldn't apply it to our case, where we replanted the stalk after that gravata omer and it grew, where over here the chumra would be to say, don't look at the original stalk. Look at the new growth, which never had the omer brought for it. Therefore, we have no raya from here. Continues the Gemara to ask on this case, boy Rabba, in that case, where we had the stalk that was already one-third grown, the omer was brought, and then we replanted, what would be the din in terms of ma'aser? Forget about chodesh. What about ma'aser? Well, what's different? What are you asking exactly? Echidami. What it's talking about over here, the amdinu, the asrinu. What we did is, we took a measurement, in our mind, of the se'orim that this is producing. We took off ma'aser, and then we replanted it from the chulin part, which is already ma'asered, and then it continued to grow. Now, the reason that I see this case as being different than the previous case is like this. Let's say that you already determined in the original question, Imtim Salomar, that in the original question we will not go Lukula with the Iker, Lo Aslin Basar Iker, and therefore you would need to bring a new Omer. So then you would assume that the Tosefet Boy Isure, you'd also have to take off Miser from the Tosefet as well. My question is not about that. That definitely does follow from the previous case. My question is, what about the part that was originally there? That's my question. What about what was there? Do you need to go back now and take off Maser again from the Iker? Well, Marley Abaye, I don't understand. Why is this different than every single case in the world? We always go ahead, take off Maser. I understand why I have to have this whole crazy case. The din is that you, every single year, you take off Maser, okay? Some of that stuff that you take off Maser, you replant, don't you? And when it grows, don't you have to take off Maser again? I mean, do you really think that we took off Maser one time in history, and from then on everything that grows is kosher? That's just basically what happened over here. You took off Maser, and then you replanted it. And why is this any different? No. Ki'elaki, kami boili, davar she'im zar'o kala. Amalei, Rabbi explained, that's, you're bringing me a case of chitim et sa'orim. That is not the case I was talking about. Obviously, if you plant chitim et sa'orim in the ground, so then the seed disappears in the ground. What comes out now is something new. Obviously, that's true. Elaki kami boili, the case that I have asking about is a davar she'in zar'o kala.
Remember, we were talking about the actual stalk, okay? The stalk doesn't disappear. It continues to grow itself. You have things like onions that continue to grow. Potatoes continue to grow. That's our question. My. Ah, that says the Gemara. We should be able to answer that. In a case where you have, let's say, litra batzal, say a kilo of onions, and you went ahead and you took off all its trumas and maestras, the zaro, and now you planted it. The din is mitaser lefi kulon. When you take it out again, you don't say, well, let's see now, it's 90% larger than it was before, so I will take off 90% of the requisite maserot, because I already took off the first 10%. No. It's not the case. So the din over there is that even though the initial seed doesn't disappear, because over here, obviously, the onion, the piece of the onion that was there initially is still there, it's nonetheless considered to be a completely new plant. So why is this case any different? Says the Gemara, because hatam ha'inuz riyato. That's because that's the norm for planting an onion. You take an onion and you plant it. And therefore, that's what defines the new plant. But when you take a stalk that's still growing of grain, replanting it with its root, that's not the derech of zriya. Lav ha'inuz riyato. And since that's not the standard zriya, my question is, how do we look at it? Amale Rebbe Chanina ba minyumi la'abaye. How about a flower pot that does not have a hole in it that allows it to draw nourishment from the ground? So tzaratzich enu naku, mahu. Can you use that to take off meiser from another atzich enu naku? My question is like this. But if that's what we're talking about, e lo naku. So lo naku. If they're both not naku, what's the difference? The other one is, in other words, you're talking about the same case. You're saying, can I take meiser from an atzich enu naku, meaning from an atzich enu naku? I mean, so whatever. Whatever the din is on one, it'll be the din on the other. I mean, why wouldn't you? Maybe what you meant to ask, you should have explained a little better, and you were asking, Dilma Chazavnik Volkamre. Must be that what you were asking is, in the same atzitz, you went ahead and drilled a hole in it. Can you take miser from it on itself? Now that is interesting. That's already an interesting question, because if we look at the additional growth, so fine, then the whole thing is chayev and miser. And you can take from itself on itself. But if you're saying that was only a chumrah, and over here there's, you're going to be meiko because you're taking out of something which is chayev, and meiser is having gone potter, and meiser vice versa, and this is a fascinating question. Says the Gemara, but it's really not as fascinating. It's not the same, because, you know, here, hacha, chadazriya. Truth is, there hasn't been any new planting, there's new act of planting. All that you did is drill a hole through the planter. And now, you've changed the status of what's in it. And since ich buri udekom mechabra, basically, the entire plant as a whole is, there's only a saying, this part of it was here before, this part is not here before. So there it makes sense to say that ola, the entire thing, is considered to be part now growing from the ground. So it's all one thing. And it's all, therefore, going to be chayev and maaser, and that's not a question. Mashenka, in the other case, we have two separate acts of zriya, remember. We took out the stalk, we took care of it before the omer, replaced it as a stalk with its roots. So we have two separate acts of zriya. Then over there, we could certainly ask whether the second zriya has that relationship to the first zriya. But over here, where the circumstances change of the similar zriya, I don't see that it would have been part of the question that we had before.
So, the last ba'aya of Rani Bar Choma, we didn't succeed in finding an answer to. And Rani Bar Choma continues on the attack today. Boy, Rani Bar Choma, Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, the last word on the second line. Boy, Rami Bar Choma, shtei halechem, hanatsa sharia or hanata sharia. What exactly is the shiur of that which the shtei halechem would be matir? Certainly, it's not going to be matir just seeds in the ground. So, is it matir the hanatsa or the hanata? Hanatsa is the first bud, and hanata is where there's already the shape of the initial kriya, further development. Ask the Gemara, what exactly are you referring to? Are we talking about, now, the truth is that it's not clear for what we're talking about, even physically. The Rambam learns that we're talking about sweet, that the shalechem is coming to be matzah, which is a little difficult because the Gemara talks in terms of leaves and in terms of fruit, and it's the mashmaut is it's talking about fruit. Rashi learns indeed it's talking about fruit. And I mean, so then the question is, what fruit? When did you say a lesson coming to be matzah fruit? Again, we see here a smack in the Taisus Chadashim and the Shiva Mikubes says the Ferish like this, that you see apparently that Peres HaIlan, remember we pointed out yesterday, there's got to be something happening here about this crazy thing about Nisachim. I mean, what are you telling me Nisachim? The Chal is no issue. Hell am I, that there is a mitzvah in fact to wait until after the Shtei HaLechem, Megabe HaKrava, Bikurim as well. Even on the Nisachim part, even on the pears, even on the grapes. And that, those who hold it, that's what the Rambam, not here, it's that indeed Rambam was talking about Tvuah. But from the previous sugya, that the Rambam holds indeed that there's a din of Heter, of Chodosh, Legabe Paris as well. But in any event, if we learn that it's Paris, where Rashi learns here, the Taisus learns, other Rishonim learn that way as well, then the question is, those things that require Shtei HaLechem in order to do the Hakrovan, in this case the Bikurim, perhaps even for Mikras Pesachim, so the Shaila would be, what stage would be the stage that would be acceptable, that they would be at the point that the Shtei HaLechem is matir them? So answer to the Gemara, are we talking about the Hanots of the Pri, or the Hanot of the Pri? I mean, what kind of question is that? Hashta Hashrashashar, Hanatsa v'chanata biboy. If we know that when it comes to the heter of the Tvua, to the Shtei HaLechem, all that's required is the Hashrashah. Hashrashah is simply taking root. I mean, there may be absolutely no visible blooming above at all. So what possible question is there that Chanata, it should be it's 100 times beyond just Hashrashah. So how could you be asking that? Ela Hanatsa de'Allah v'chanata de'Allah. Our question is like this. If we have a Shri, now, obviously we cannot have a discussion about Hashrasha. I mean, the tree is Mushrash V'omed. Now, our question is, this year's growth. How do we determine the level of development of the growth that it should be at a stage that the Shtei HaLechem should impact it? What would be the equivalent? Thank you so much. Our president. Nothing like him. So what would be the equivalent stage in the tree of an Ilan that would be equal to the Hashrosh of the Tvua is essentially our question. So we have way before we get to the point of Hanatsa, and certainly of Chanata, of a pre, we have the new buds on the tree that are going to give forth ultimately this year's fruits. Not the bud of the fruit, but the bud of the leaves. So that's what we're asking over here. What I want to know is, the Hanatzah de Allah, or the Hanatzah de Allah, you have the Hanatzah, the Hanatzah of the leaf itself, which is prior to the appearance of anything of the fruit. Mihaviki Hashrasha Baitzvua, Olo. Is that the equivalent of Hashrasha, which is the shear that is necessary for the head of the Shtei HaLechem, or not? Legati de Ilan, Teku. That question also of Rami Bar Chama stands. Boy Rava Barav Chana, Chitin Shazar on the Karka. Richie, we're supposed to start at 8 today. Chitin Shazar on the Karka. If I plant now wheat in the ground. So, what is the shear? Is the Omer Matir that wheat already? Even though I just planted, at least that's what it sounds like, whereas even though I just planted it, when it grows, it's already Mutter, because the Omer passed on it, or ain't Omer Matir. Or not? Hefty dummy asking, well, kind of, I don't understand what the question is. Either ashes to need it or ashes to need it. If they took root, the Mishnah says the fairish what the din is, and if they didn't take root, the Mishnah says the fairish what the din is, namely, Ditznan im yishrishu kodin la'omer. So if these seeds now, rooted before the omer was brought, then the omer is matiran, and now when they grow up into tefuah, you're allowed to eat that tefuah. You don't have to wait till next year for the next omer in order to be matir chadash. And im lav, if they didn't take root, so then asher not sure of the omer haba. You have to wait until the omer that comes a year from this omer, and they are considered to be, the wheat that grows to them is considered to be chodesh until that time. So, what are you asking? The Persian Mishnah, you're asking. No, you missed the point. My question is this. What happened is like this. You harvested wheat. You took that wheat that was newly harvested, had not yet had the omer on it, and you put it into the ground, and you planted it, and then the omer was brought, and then you decided you want to dig it up and eat the wheat. So now my question is, it hasn't taken root yet. It hasn't become now a new plant. It's wheat. My question is, can I pick them out of the ground? Do we say, do we look at it as if I put them into a container? I put them into a glass container. Is the omer matzah? How is the omer matzah? So, I put them in the ground. Nothing happened to them yet. I decided not to take them out of the ground. Should I look at that as they're having been in a container, and therefore the omer would be matzah? Do we say that they have become batel to the ground, since my intent was for zri'ah, and now, even though they didn't take root, they're considered to be a new thing that the omer hadn't passed over to be matzah? Another question I have along the same lines, where this would have also implications, is whether yesh lehem ona'a or en lehem ona'a. Remember that there's no ona'a b'karka'ot. Ona'a refers to overcharging, cheating someone when it comes to price. So we have all of our dinim up to 1/6, 1/6, and post 1/6. Now, the question, therefore, would be if there was some type of argument about these chitim, am I arguing about karka, in which case there's no ona'a, or am I arguing about matata, in which case the dinim of ona'a kick in? Well, what's the case? Echidami. Somebody claims that he had put in now, let's say, 6 seeds per square foot. And they come along witnesses and say, no, he only put in 5. I understand, and that's not Negev, the Dinim of Ona'a. Because all my Rava, called Avar Shabin, and of course that's the standard 20% deviation for Ona'a, correct? So, Amar Rava, kol davar shebemida veshebemishkal veshebeminyan, afilu pachot bechtei ona'a chuzer. Rava said that the dinim of ona'a do not apply to anything that was misrepresented in terms of mida, mishkal, or minyan. And so, in other words, if you have measurements that were, you have the measurement of the size of a thing, you have the measurement of the weight of a thing, or the number of a thing. A guy says, I'm selling you 100 units of something, or 1,000 units of something, or only 999. Well, that's not 20%. It's nothing to do with 20. 20% has to do with value. Valuations. It's not a valuation. It's a straightforward misrepresentation of content. Misrepresentation of content. It's not a function of today or not. It's simply a mechakot. I had intended to buy 1,000, not 999. Give me my money back. That's all. What does that have to do with Ona'a? Ona'a has to do with the variation in values. The Torah says this is the shear of variation. So that can't be the case. The question over here is that they had made an agreement that somebody was to sow as necessary. And he comes, but he was going to be paid for sowing as necessary. Now, he comes back and says, I did. Witnesses come along and said there could have been 20% more seed here. Now, then they're not arguing about Mita, Mishkal, or Minyan. They're arguing basically about a judgment as to how much is the most appropriate density of seeding. So that would be the Klal Ona'a. So now the question is, do we say it's Shemaim Deshada B'Kadadom as if it's been... We were talking about the equivalent, the ground in this case is the equivalent of a container. So how much is you going to put into a container? And because it hasn't taken root, after all, I mean, we're talking about something that wasn't yet rooted, by definition. We're talking about the shiur that it was supposed to put into the ground, which is it's metaltalin. If it's metaltalin, so then, the same question, so whether it's batel to the ground, and if it's batel to the ground, then there's no din of ona'a. Further implication of my question. Is nishba'in alayhim, or in nishba'in alayhim. There's a halacha that you're not nishba al karkaot. See, they have an argument, let's say, which you have an eight effort that backs up your claim. And normally, the person would have to be nishba to make it your claim, but not on karka. Or if you have a motive of mixas, so that there's a question, he admits to partially what he owes you, but not the whole thing, so then he would have to pay, but not if the issue is, then he would have to swear, but not if the issue is karka. So again, here my question is, do we say Kedishabi Bakadadami or Kamatapadami? Is it the equivalent of being inside of a container, it's the Talton, and therefore Nishba Inalayan? No Dumbabatulolo Agiv Ara, do we say that it's considered to be basically part of the ground? Uchemikarka idamu, it has the din of real estate, the Ainishba Inalayim, there's no din of Shmua on real estate. Teku. That question also stands.
Whoa,
you're pulling a Barnea here. The only way I can answer you is Shaloki Inyan, with the dream of the Baal Shem Tov. Seriously, Baal Shem Tov was Shoyal B'Chalom. You heard that famous story? The Baal Shem Tov was Shoyal B'Chalom, what's the din of Kodesh and Chutzlaret. So he was told that when the Bach was Nifter, the Bach was Matir Kodesh B'Chutzlaret. At least he was Malamit Sus and all those horn laid Yisr, right? So it says when the Bach, they told him in his dream that when the Bach was Nifter, they had to cool Gehenim for 40 days in his Sus. So because of that, he said, well, if that's the case, I guess the Bach is worthy to be Semer Malam, so that we'll rely that Kodesh is Mutter B'Chutzlaret. Lamaite, it's reported by later Katsidim that when he met later on in his life, he met one of his own Talmidim, would become a big rabbi. I forgot the name. Not a book in the Katsidim. That he was Nei Yisr, so he started to be mocking around himself to be Nei Yisr. So that's the Shalokinian.
The Indian was that if I said you sowed it, you took the stuff from the Omer and you sowed it, I mean...
Not the stuff from the Omer.
No, the wheat that you had reaped before, was the Omer.
Right. That would be the ground, yeah.
But in the Eretz Yisrael, it wouldn't grow.
It wouldn't grow anyway.
It wouldn't grow.
I don't know, you sure?
If you could do that, whether you would sow it in South America, then it would grow for the winter, but...
Not a botanist. We lost, unfortunately, our botanist. It was such so much fun when we were learning Kalayim. We had a botanist. Voy Rami Bar Choma. Chitin shebigalalei bakar. Yisaorin shebigalalei behima mahu. What would be the din? The God, the whole grains of wheat that would be found in the dung of animals or of barley. That's what Bokar is referring to, bovine feces. Saorin, if you would have barley that would be found in, let's say, horse dung. The question is what? Yeah, mahu, what? Bamani, what? For what? What are you asking? You label it tmuye tumas earth when you're talking about that it should be toma, if you, if it was makabal tuma or not. The question is it wheat? Is it food? Is it considered to be food? Tanina, it says the version of Braisa in the Tosefta. Chitin shebra'ib yakar u'sa'orin shebegalalei behima. Now, the truth is the gears that we have over here does not seem to be correct. I say it does not seem to be correct because the gears is brought by the Rambam, and the Rambam and the Rai that apparently is being used, he doesn't argue on him. As Kesher Mishnah points out, he must have the same gears. It's very different from this gears. Our gears runs like this. If you decided that you're going to eat these grains, ain't metamik mezochin, it's still not metamik to mezochin. But if laktan la'achila, if you actually collected the grains and put them in a container, then they would be metamik to mezochin. Now the Rambam has basically the opposite. Laktan, stop. You're malakit these grains without defining the use that you would put them to. So then they're not betayim to mezach. Chishav aron makila, since the normal rule is that all oif and a yardim the day to masu b'makshava. So the moment that you're chishav aron makila, at that point they would consider it to be eichlin. In any event, the halacha is directly addressed by the brisa. So what exactly are you asking? Elalim anachot. You're asking whether you can use a chitim like this to bring a mincha with? Ah, come on, man. Obviously, you can, it's disgusting. As it says in Tanakh, try bringing it to the president over here. Ayyutzachal, Yusafanakh, you think he's going to think that's a very lovely gift that you're giving him? Lotzericha de naktinu vizarinu. The question is different. The question is, he was malakic, these seeds, and he planted them. And now they grow. So the question at this point is, I didn't mean legabe, bringing them themselves. I'm saying, if they were planted, they grew now. And I have now wheat that grew from them. So what was the problem when you said, well, you certainly can't use it for a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mishum de bisutahu, is it because it's disgusting? I mean, in this case, obviously, once it's been planted and gone through the ground, and you have now new wheat, given this, I mean, new husband of mishutayam, otherwise you wouldn't be able to drink water on this planet. I mean, it's recycled. I mean, it's something new at this point. So there wouldn't be any news in that. Or is the problem, when we said, obviously you can't use it, because these are lesser quality grains, in having gone through a digestive system, they've had leached out of them many of the minerals and things that they need, in which case, then the product may also be a lower quality wheat, because there were less built-in nutrients, and that would still be considered to be akvidel nala pechasef. But it's not the highest quality to bring that kind of work. Take it. Boy, Rami Bar Chava is another cute one. Peel shabalak mitzri. Here comes an elephant and swallows Little Red Riding Hood's basket. And now the question is, he excretes this whole. So he defecates with the basket, and now Little Red Riding Hood wants to use her basket again. The wolves get her on the next stop. But this time, first she just meets an elephant. So the question is, Mao, what's the din? Well, what's the din? Legado, you want? Lamai. Ilema lamavatel tumata. Is it that her basket, lechatchila, had been tameh? And now the question is whether it loses its tumah because it's considered now to have been digested. So it loses its tumah in this process, in which case her grandmother no longer has to be chayish to wait until Yemei Tumata to eat the bread that she brings her. Tamina, that's the fairish again in the Mishnah. There can't be a question about that. It says, Kol HaKelim Yodim Livei Tumatan B'Machshava Veino Olimi Tumatan Ela B'Shinui Ma'aseh. You have to have a physically visible change in something in order to take away its tumor. You can't take away its tumor by something that is not noted. So that's obviously, it's not going to lose its tumor if it already had it. Lo tzricha, the case was the bola hutzin ve'avino klifa mitzvitz. It over here, the peel had swallowed the leaves, which I normally use for basket weaving. These leaves pass through its digestive system, and now we make a basket out of them. So the question is, me have an eagle. Do we say they are considered to have been digested? If they're digested, then they're no longer wood. They are now considered to be dung. So have like kichlegla limu kichle adama. They have the same din as the nice kalim that they make in Nepal out of dung. And they're not makabel tuma, they makabel tuma. The Omar Mar, klei avanim uklei gilalim uklei adama, ein makabelim tuma, lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei Sofrim. So it may look like branches, but it's technically dung, and therefore won't be makabel tuma. And that was our question. Or do we say, since we don't see the impact of digestion on the leaves, they look like leaves still. So mamela, there'd be no problem. So in this case, her Shiloh, Little Red Riding Hood, was whether or not a basket that she carefully made out of clay galolim, she thought. Therefore, there would be no kashash of tumah, the guy with the bread she brought her grandmother, whether there was a need to watch out for the wolves. Comes along the Gemara and says, absolutely, we can prove it from the wolves. He should lay me off the Omar Ula, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yehotzona. Ma'aseh u'balu shnei ze'evim, shnei tinokot pe'evai harde. It was actually a ma'aseh, where poor Little Red Riding Hood didn't make it. And the wolves ate her up. And they tried opening up the, you know, it's all very simply open up the wolves, and it doesn't work that way. Here, the wolves actually passed, they defecated the remains of these children. Uba ma'aseh lifnei chachamim, the tiharu et habasar, and they said that the givalim were not tamei mace. In other words, that the basar of the mace that had been exuded was not considered to be basar anymore, because it was basically digested. Oh, come on, that's no comparison. Shiny basar the rokes. I mean, you're talking about flesh. Flesh is digestible. I mean, you were talking about hutsin. Hutsin were not digestible. That was the whole issue. How you bring a riot from the mice with the wolves? Well, but what about the next piece? Lipshot me seifa. You can bring a riot from the seifa of that mice, where tim uetat samot, the bones that were left in the defecation were indeed tamei tumas mace. So you see that passing through the digestive system of the wolf is not considered to be mavatel the shame of etzem from it. So here too, it would not be mavatel the shame of hutzin, wouldn't turn it into something that it isn't, it's a klei galolim, and it should be makabel tumah, the same as the atzamos, considered to be bos, to be atzamos ames, and the metame. No. Shiny atzamos yakushitve. You can't bring a raya from atzamos, because atzamos are much more difficult to digest than hutzin. Because the hutzin, if you would leave it in a stomach long enough, it would ultimately break down. Now, shank in the atzamos, they may be considered to be indigestible by definition. So that doesn't address our case. Boy, Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera has another fascinating question. Chitim shiyordu ba'avim ma'u. How about wheat that comes down from the clouds? What's the difference? How does wheat come down from the clouds? Rashi says, well, it's very simple. A tornado picked up a boat that was full of wheat somewhere and dumped it. To which Tosfos says, so then what kind of stupid question is it? It's whatever it was. If it was wheat that was coming up, what doesn't change just because it went up into the clouds, does it? Why would that change its din in any sense? So it must be talking about some type of miraculous wheat that appears out of nowhere and is dumped from the clouds. So what is the din? Fascinating question to the Gabe Rashi. I mean, what is Rashi saying? Well, first let's see what the Gemara asks. What's the Mingya? Lemai. Lagabe, what halacha are you asking? Ilam menachot. If you're talking about bringing it for carbon mincha, why not? Am I low? In other words, if this wheat, so now according to Rashi, the Amai Lo would be, if this wheat was wheat that had grown in Eretz Yisrael, so why not bring it? According to Tosfos, the question would be, does it have a din of wheat, or is it only an analog to wheat? In other words, it looks like wheat, tastes like wheat, and is, in fact, a direct copy of wheat in every way, but it hasn't grown from the ground.
This is like the meat that Adam Rishon has
done. Yeah, somebody faxed wheat. Right, so the reconstructed, you have a complete reconstruction of the wheat that was faxed on the other side, a little bit beyond present technology. So would that be considered to be the same wheat?
Bimiyah,
yeah, exactly. So is that the same person? Is that the same wheat? Or is it just an analog to that wheat, which matches in every way, but which in fact did not go through the process that wheat requires to be called wheat? That would be kosher. Didn't come from the ground? So from a nachot, we don't have a problem. Because from a nachot, it never says anywhere that it has to come from the ground. It just says it has to be wheat. Now it's wheat. The question would be the she'alecha. Because the she'alecha, it insists that it comes from Moshe Boteichem. This is the she'alecha of mine. Mimoshvotechem, Amar Rachman, Lafuki of Chutzlaris the law. Is Mimoshvotechem only to tell me that if it comes from Chutzlaris, there's a pagam in Chutzlaris. But there's no pagam in falling from the sky. Avim Yavim lo, there's no pagam in falling from the sky. Or, so Tavim would be sharper to me. Oduma Mimoshvotechem Dafko. Or, is Mimoshvotechem a positive thing? It's a fascinating, fascinating question. Huh? In other words, the question is, does Mimosh Votechem mean from Eretz Yisrael, or does Mimosh Votechem mean not from Chutz La'aretz? Is it that Chutz La'aretz is an active pagam in things, or is it that it lacks the mile of Eretz Yisrael? Unbelievable question. Right? So if it's not from Eretz Yisrael and not from Chutz La'aretz, it should be okay. If it's only that it lacks, right, that it's not a pagama. Odinom Mimosh Votechem means it's Dafka Mosh Votechem. In which case, I feel it's Odin Namimosh. If it comes from the clouds, then it's no longer Mimosh Votechem. That's the Gemara. Isn't this a little bit of a, shall we say, theoretical question? you're asking something that seems to be a fairy tale. No. We know of actual events that happen like this. Kidadi Taya, you know, that Arab Adi. I mean, you can believe everything he says. Nechisavai Rum Kizbachi to the class of Parsi. I mean, he had a field three parsos of his, 12 kilometers, and he had the height of a kizba, which is a normal tefach, but with a raised thumb. So it's like a tefach and a half. Of wheat across the entire field that had simply been dumped by a storm on him. So these things obviously do happen.
But what is it literally?
It's a measurement.
With the thumb? So Bar Kasiba had it been biting off
the thumb. The thumb, fascinating. Fascinating. I mean, according to Rashi, it's fascinating. According to Rashi, you'll have to say that just like all things are dealt with halakhically in terms of their local character rather than what we know about them, right? Zalotha isn't concerned with the mechanisms of things or the facts of what lie behind it. It's concerned only with immediate cause, immediate visibility, and so on. We don't care about microscopic animals because we don't see them. We know that they're there, but it makes no difference because locally, on a human level, they don't exist.
It would be us to the breeze.
What's that?
It would be us to the breeze.
Yeah, I'm saying, but in general, in other words, all halacha deals with the immediate. Rashi apparently holds the fact that something disappeared up into the sky in a tornado is the end of its existence, so to speak, from where we know that it came from. If it's dumped somewhere, it's dumped from nowhere, as far as halacha is concerned. Now, what's its din? This is wheat that appeared. What's its halacha? Obviously we know it came from somewhere, but it doesn't concern us that it came from somewhere. Which Tosfos is a gas, everybody remember, but this is a gross effect. A gross effect we're always concerned about. So if you know that it came from Chutz La'aretz, there's a din of Chutz La'aretz. You know, if it came from Eretz Yisrael, there's a din of Eretz Yisrael. If it's a Suffolk, it's a Suffolk. I don't know, what's the magic of having come down from a cloud? It's a fascinating my work.
So we're not dealing with Maestanism. Nobody's talking about Maestanism.
Rashi isn't, Tosfos is. Now, there's a very interesting Hanukkah issue here. Because the question, the famous question, as to why we have 8 days of Hanukkah, if the first day wasn't a miracle, it's some taina that they try to be metaphysical by saying that the first day was also a miracle, because after they poured out the oil, they saw that there was still the same amount of oil left in the container, right? Now that would mean that the oil that's there is not as miraculous oil. The question is miraculous oil have a din of oil or not? So lechora from this sugya, miraculous oil has a din of oil. I'll leave it at Taisus because miraculous chitin have a din of chitin. To which the briskerot tainin? No, because miraculous oil may be oil, but it doesn't have a din of shemen zayis, and you need shemen zayis to be madrig from the nair. So you can't possibly say it's miraculous olive oil. It's miraculous analog to olive oil. But I can say it's miraculous olive oil. It didn't grow from olives. So over here also, you're not going to say it's miraculous wheat of Eretz Yisrael.
Well, one of the days is Shemen Zayin. Right? I have one jet of Shemen Zayin.
He didn't reject that approach. What's that?
One of the days, either the one that I put in now for the first day,
mm-hmm.
or the one that's left, is real olive oil. I had an amount of real olive oil in a...
Fine, but who cares? That's not the issue. The issue is how could you use the remaining oil?
That's the thing. We'll shallow the next 7 days. Fine, the first day.
But not the next. The heck could you use it? What are you getting mixed up with the cash of how many reason it is? The shallow is how could you use this oil for hot luck the next day?
The next day.
The next day. And so what have you... Obviously, the first day of Shemin Zayin. Lamaita, I don't think that it's Nagea Bechlal, by the way, in that sinya, because there's an obvious difference between something that is Misrada and something that comes from nowhere. Because the Rivui of the thing, in which the change of our measurements is what we don't note, is not considered to be a Bria out of nothing.
The Shemanis.
Yeah, although there's kashas on that from some of the Midrashim about the Shemanis. The question was whether the shaman of the Shemanis would be Mikabotuma, that you need to bring Kalim to her. If it doesn't have a din of shaman, so there's a whole steer from that sugya, the Midrashim to the Gemara over here anyway.
With the
Shemanis, yeah.
If he wasn't olive oil,
would
she have to make a... In fact, he started off with one...
There would be no gay olive, obviously.
But he started off with one bottle of olive oil. There was one bottle of olive oil.
Yeah, exactly. That's the shame of what a reboy is considered to be. Look, we're misfollowed every time we go to measure our garden. We're misfollowed with it. We should have a brock in the garden. So what do we think misfollowed? That it should come from nowhere. Okay. Boy, Rav Shimon ben Pasi. Question that was raised by Rav Shimon ben Pasi: what would be the din of the shibolet shehivia shlish kodem lomer? You start off with a stalk. So you have a stalk of grain that was one-third grown before the Omer. Now, if it was one-third grown before the Omer, it already has a din of pre, and has all of the din of Chodesh, the Omer would be Matzirit, and so on. So you pulled it out of the ground, and then Shatla Li'achra Omer. You then replanted it after the Omer was brought, with its original roots, and so on. Now it continues to grow, Yosifa. So now you've got a lot of new growth, which you did not have before. The question is the new growth considered to be growth of something planted post-Omer, or is it considered to be simply an extension of that which was already mutter because of Akrovas Omer before? So the question is, Mau, Batar Ikar, Azlinan Visharya, do we go with the initial plant over here, which was already mutter because the Omer was matra, now that plant is simply adding Odibo Bata Tosefet Aslina, or do we say, look, whatever I mean has been replanted, it's regrowing, that's not seen as a simple rebuy of what was already there, it's new growth, and that new growth is also Akshia Vo Omer Haba. You'll have to wait another year to bring the next Omer. Well, that's an interesting question, but I mean, it seems to be obvious what the answer is. Steve Shetley, Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Avu, and Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't it follow the same rules that Rabbi Avu quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, that if you have a branch of a tree that holds fruit on it, that was a yalda, and it was a young tree, she said, ha bizikina, you now grafted the young tree onto an old trunk. Uba peirot, now there's fruit on this young branch. that the din is the branch of the Yalda is Osir because of Orla. Right? So it's not 3 years old yet. But the din is that Orla is Bato 200 to 1. So suppose now the new growth that continues to grow from this plant is now considered to be coming from its root system, and that would be mutter normally. Let's say that it hadn't had any fruit on it. Now it would start growing fruit. Those fruit would not be Orla. So suppose the fruit that already budded now grow to the point where they're easily 200 times the size of the initial bud. So that means that whatever was Osir as Orla before should now be Bato within the plant as a whole. Nonetheless, Afilo Osir Bataim, even though it's not 200 times more, it remains Osir, which shows us that you do go according to the Iker from which something grows. You don't view it as being unrelated growth. Because it was unrelated growth. Was unrelated growth, it would have been Mevatel, the Yisra of the initial growth. Furthermore, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni on Rav Yonatan said that if you plant an onion, batzal shishatalo b'kerem, so now you have kiloye kerem. Now kiloye kerem is also batzal, 1 to 200. And you have some of this onion had grown in the kerem. Now ne'ekar ha-kerem. The kerem was uprooted and the batzal continues to grow. It's now growing the heter. Nonetheless, afilo hosif b'matayim asur, it remains osur, even though there's easily 200 times more than the original growth in the onion. So you see again, having started off with something that's osur, any tosefet remains osur. The same thing should be here, having started off with something that's mutter, having the omer pass over the first shlish, then any tosefet should remain mutter. It's the same principle. Says the Gemara, indeed, but he grew for coming by light. It's not that in asking the question he was unaware of this. On the contrary, he was asking about the applicability of this din to the question that he asked about the Omer, because what he wanted to know was mipshat pshita lula rabban in the basri kasrina loshna lekula loshna lechumra. Is this psak based on a definitive analysis that all things follow the initial growth? And therefore, it would be true in this case, where the initial growth was osir, and any subsequent growth is osir. Or is it that we don't know, and therefore, in this case, we made lechumra, and we said, look, I mean, there's a tzad that is osir, let it remain osir. In which case, to apply it to my case, where I would be saying it's heter, since the initial growth was mutter, actually, the subsequent growth is mutter, that doesn't follow at all, because maybe the Rabbanu were misupak. They were simply going to Lachurma. In which case, when in my question, they would also go to Lachurma. They would say, ah, maybe you shouldn't go according to the Yikr, and you should consider the new growth to be different, and the new growth would be also. Let's just see that inside. So he's asking, Mirsha Chitilu the Rabbanu, was it clear to the Rabbanu, the Batar Ikar Azlina, that would go according to the initial growth? And then it would be lo shna lekulav, lo shna lechumra. It wouldn't matter whether we take that lekula or lechumra. Odioma spuki misafkeru. Or was that sock, legabi the onion and legabi the graft, was that they were really misupak whether you should follow the initial growth? So they said, let's go lechumra. But then it would only be lechumra, mina. Lekula, lo amina. Take it. That too would be a problem. Should I leave you here? I suppose.
A lot of cases.
Since I don't have enough attention to make it. I've gone beyond your span.
Why does the Lord bring all these sacreds?
Why? Because it's a suffix, we shouldn't bring it. I mean, wherever it's a suffix, we have to follow the halakha lechumra.
All these bias, all these.
Where it's Megiadia rice.
Where
you go lechumra? Unless we have somewhere else where the Gemara seems to assume differently. That's already the Gidrei Psak. Gentlemen, it's been somewhat of a pleasure.
It was a real pleasure,
Rabbi. Sunday morning, I see we really have